Okay, I welcome all of you to Kalalgoda English Medium Retreat. Now it's the time for question and answer session. Can you all hear me?
I don't know.
Can you all hear me now? Can? Okay, yes. So I welcome all of you to Kalalgoda English Medium Retreat. Now it's the time for a question and answer session. So I think Lakshmi is ready with the written question, so I cordially invite to begin with the written questions.
Thank you, sir. There are 6 questions in all.
Yes.
About 4 on meditation and 2 questions on Dhamma Kum meditation.
Yes. Okay.
Venerable Thera, I am a beginner in mindful meditation. I started doing Anapanasati. At the beginning, I can feel the in-breath and out-breath very well. But soon, the feeling fades away. Within a few minutes, I can't feel my breathing. Then my mind starts wandering, since I don't have anything to concentrate on. Because of this, I feel I am unsuitable for Anapanasati. Hence, I am considering to focus on rising and falling of the abdomen instead of in-breath and out-breath. Venerable Thera, can you kindly explain what is the right thing to do? Much merit to you, and may you achieve supreme bliss of Nibbana.
May you too. So, basically, you will get the same result in rising and falling also. Then what are you going to do? So it is not the idea that basically, now say for example, you start with Anapanasati meditation and you are telling now after some time your object disappears. So the same thing will happen when you are going to choose rising and falling. So after some say several weeks of practice, the same thing will happen. Then are you going to again going back to Anapanasati or... So it is not the problem, so it's a kind of that we don't know how the meditation evolves. So at the beginning, idea is that we may be able to concentrate on a gross object. It's fairly gross, the feeling is gross. So that's also at the beginning, you might not be able to very well do it because your mind is wandering, going here and there. But suppose after some effort, that you are able to maintain your attention, maintain your mindfulness on breath. Then the breath appears fairly, possible way, positive way. Say for example, you are feeling that right now I am breathing in. And after that, I am feeling that I am breathing out. So similarly, you are continuing. And as you more and more concentrate on it, so the idea is it may not last at the same level. So it will change, it will evolve. So I think if we expect that the breath has to be visible or breath has to be felt on the same amount, then it's a wrong notion. So idea is as we are being aware of breath, naturally it starts to fade away or naturally starts to become softer and softer. So ultimately, the object very much like disappeared, very much like it's become softer and softer, and ultimately you can't even feel it. Now, which one you think is most profound or fairly advanced way of maintaining mindfulness? Is it with a gross object or is it with a very subtle object? So maintaining mindfulness with subtle object is the difficult task, because maintaining mindfulness with a gross object is fairly easy. So that's very much like when you are doing walking meditation, so your foot is touching the ground, so that sensation is fairly gross. So you can easily maintain your mindfulness there. But on the other hand, when the breath is concerned, comparatively, breath is fairly subtle compared to the sensation you are feeling at your foot. Breath is fairly subtle because here the air element, there the earth element, likewise. Even at the beginning, if you even you are capable of seeing breath, because of your attention, because of the improvement, the breath starts to disappear. Breath starts to become subtler and subtler. And as breath becomes subtler and subtler, our skill also has to be improved. Our mindfulness, our say sensitivity has to be improved. It may not happen immediately. So breath may be going very much like in a fast pace, but our mindfulness is slowly developing. So as the yogi has mentioned, so when the breath becomes subtler, since your mind does not have a fairly gross object to adhere, fairly gross object to anchor upon, then it starts to distract, because this object is not that visible, not that attractive, not that gross, so it is trying to find out something else. So it is distracting to something else. So our objective should be to take it back to the breath. So it is fairly okay to wander, because now the object has become subtler, our sensitivity or mindfulness has not yet become capable of grasping that object, concentrating that subtle object. Because of that, it is distracting. So rather than introducing a new object, rising and falling or any other object, we have to continue in this process. Then only you'll be able to, at another time, at an improved time, then even the breath becomes softer, breath becomes subtler, you're still capable of maintaining your attention on the subtler breath. Then suppose it is further become subtler and subtler. So your mindfulness also has to be very sharp. You have to be very vigilant. You can't allow your mind to go out or distract and again come back, because now the situation becomes very delicate. Therefore, if mind wanders, once you understand that mind has wandered, as you begin your meditation, again take it back. Doesn't matter, the sensation may be very subtle, the breath may be very subtle, just try to maintain your attention at the nostril. Then as you are doing it again and again, you may start to feel it again. So, but now it is not a gross breath, but now it's a very subtle breath. So once you are developed, then even the subtlest breath you may be able to perceive, you may be able to feel. And even you can maintain mindfulness, you can maintain your attention at the nostril even when breath is not at all there. So how can that be? So this is how it is developing, or this is how the meditation evolving. So if we don't know that, then when breath disappears, we try to make it gross. We start to breathe forcefully. Then we are going against the grain. We are going against the growth. Or we are going to an entirely different gross object like rising and falling. So because you don't know the theory, you don't know how the meditation evolves. So the point to remember is whatever the object you are observing, so it starts to change. So we have to accept that things are changing. We are with the impermanence. So as and when we are observing it, it becomes different. And breath becomes subtler. And again, ultimately the subtlest. So try to keep your attention again and again there. So after you are capable of maintaining your attention for a considerable time, you may be able to again perceive breath. Now in a very subtle level. Now we are continuing that. Now again breath becomes subtler and subtler. And even the difference between in-breath and out-breath, that difference also starts to somewhat fade away. So you can't find out much difference even. And again, there's some techniques you can try to improve, where you can use, is that, so in-breath, so at the beginning what we are observing is very much the middle part. Middle part is the one gross part. So, but there is a subtle beginning of the breath, and then only it is improving, increasing, and then after that middle part, it starts to decrease, then disappear. Then the out-breath starts, and then it is improving, the feeling improves, and then again it decreases and it disappears. So this is the kind of a cycle happens in either in rising and falling or in in-breath and out-breath. So either case, you need to maintain your attention on each in-breath, each out-breath. Beginning of in-breath, middle of in-breath, end of in-breath. Beginning of out-breath, beginning of middle of out-breath, end of out-breath. Beginning of in-breath, middle of in-breath, end of in-breath. Likewise, if you are able to slowly maintain your attention, your mind becomes calm and calm, and then the breath becomes subtler and subtler. And as I said, if you are capable of maintaining your mindfulness on the subtlest object, then your mindfulness has improved. So distractions means that still our mind cannot handle this delicate situation. Still the mind has some sensual desire, kamachanda. That's why, so the mind is always searching for some different objects. But as you are moving on, as you are moving forward, so these defilements, these hindrances are reducing. So you are able to maintain your attention even on subtle breath. So don't change your meditation object from anapanasati to rising and falling. So if anapanasati, this meditation object becomes subtler and subtler, just maintain that. Try to see how I can be well awake to this object. So even another thing can happen, as you are maintaining your attention, you can even fall asleep. Because when object becomes subtler and subtler, so you can't maintain even that object and you fall asleep. So then what are you going to do? Are you going to get up or going to walk? Or are you going to change the object? So it is not the approach. If it is constantly you are going to sleep, for example, after your lunch or something like that, then it's understandable. But suppose you are very well concentrating, you came in a fairly progressive path and you fall asleep. Next time also go on the same path. So don't change the track. Falling asleep is an indication that you are capable of tackling four hindrances. Now you have to handle only just one. Tinamidda is only the one you have to handle. So the next time you be prepared, once you are moving forward, be prepared. So when the breath becomes subtler and subtler, I become somewhat drowsy, I become somewhat sleepy. So is it possible for me to maintain some attention? Is it possible for me to maintain some vigilance, wakefulness, even in this subtle object? So that's how you have to slowly cross this sleeping area. So then ultimately, even with the subtle object, you can be awake. So this is how we have to cross the river. Yes. Yeah. So anyway, I am open to ask questions. So please feel free to ask any question.
Theruvan Saranai, Gauravaniya Swamin Vahansa. Sometimes I did meditate, and I saw the very bright light in front of me. In walking meditation, I would feel like at that time my foot was always heavy and I feel numbness. Sometimes after I did anapanasati, my mind is so empty and very calm. I attended the last meditation program in Mithrigala. I am continuing till now. I want to continue this program. Please inform me how I continue this program. Digayu Veva.
So actually this appearance of light is an indication that your concentration improves. So it's a good sign. But when it appears at the beginning, it's like a miracle. So how can this kind of a bright light can appear in front of my eyes when my eyes are closed? It's like a puzzle, like a miracle. So then we might think, okay, it's maybe Buddha has come or God has come, or we attribute to various things. But it's a sign of concentration. So it's sometimes in meditation jargon we call it as a concentration sign or nimitta. Especially in Anapanasati, you can get this concentration sign. It's an indication that your concentration is improving. So if it is coming and going, if it is not yet stable, so don't yet look at it. So because if you look at it, it will disappear, because it hasn't yet matured enough to maintain. So your duty is to continue with Anapanasati, because Anapanasati is the place that you are preparing the causes. So as and when you are preparing or improving these causes, so more and more this light becomes brighter and more and more stabilized. And ultimately it may come very much in line with your breath. In line with your breath. So, and again become brighter. And at that time, and fairly stable, at that time you may be able to look at it. Very much like merge with the breath. At that time only you should look at it. Before that, better continue with Anapanasati. Because Anapanasati is the place you are doing your work, doing your job, so that it will contribute to improve the stability and improve the brightness of this light. So, any other, what is the next part of that question?
May I repeat the whole question, Venerable Sir?
Okay.
Sometimes I did meditate and I saw the very bright light in front of me. In walking meditation, I would feel like at that time my foot was always heavy and numbness.
Right. So if you are getting this bright light even when you're walking, that's another good indication. Because for some yogis, you need that sign only happens during the sitting. But for some, it may be even available while walking. It's another good sign. So you have to be happy that there is a fair amount of concentration available with me, and I can even move further with this. So I don't know whose question is this. If you can little, yes. I think I can remember you. You were attending the Mithrigal retreat. Yes. So are you now getting this sign constantly, or when you are just sit after 5 minutes or something, is it appear?
Of course, yes.
Yes.
As I continue at my home.
Yeah.
So my home at like a temple, no one at all.
Good, good.
Me.
You can give it to Mithrigala there. Yeah.
So very sorry, Savina. So I am now I'm walking. I told you that I'm as a consultant.
Yeah.
So yes, yesterday also I arrange my duty and come here. So
right.
Then at that time, because sometimes I'm like a free bird.
Right.
No one in my mind.
Right.
I told you, I don't know, remember,
yes,
some of my children think about, Amma, you don't think with us like this.
Right, right.
Then all the time, I don't know, I am living or not.
Living on earth.
On, yeah.
You are living on earth?
No, no. Sometimes I don't know, my life is living or not.
Yes. Living or not.
Yeah.
Right, right. Uh-huh.
Sometimes. Sometimes I'm walking, but some, I don't know, I like walking meditation, but then I begin in the Anapanasati and just, not 5 minutes, just second, I come in the bright light. Then you told me, no, you don't go, you don't hop this light. Then
Sorry?
At that time you told me, you don't hop lights. No,
right.
I am not hopping light.
Right, right.
But always a lightning in front of me.
Right.
Then I think it's problem. I don't know.
No, it is not a problem. So now thing is, you can go. Are you doing some vipassana as well?
Yeah.
So where? What is the object you are using for vipassana?
Are you observing
feelings or
no,
what?
Anapanasati.
Anapanasati. Continuously Anapanasati.
Yeah. I am feeling in nostrils and on the lips.
Yeah,
I feel it.
So that's what you are continuing,
yeah,
basically.
I'm continuing like this.
Right. So then very much like going in the samatha side, so the concentration side, you can do little bit of further improvement in concentration. So is this, are you able to look at this sign? Have you tried that, just looking at this light? Did
no.
you try? No?
No, I don't.
So when it comes, what are you doing?
No, I'm silent. Then after go on and come, going and come, like this.
Going and coming to, yeah. coming lights. Into it?
No. Then I close my eyes, then I start the meditation, then come the light.
Right.
Then after going, then after that coming, like this.
Yeah, so basically now you can somewhat systemize the situation. Systematically you can approach it. Suppose you close your eyes, you maintain your attention on breath, now the light comes. Slowly, you discard the breath and just pay your attention to light. Now remember, when compared with breath, the light is a subtle object. Because breath, you have some motion. You know, there's a going out and coming in and something like that, some motion is there.
Yeah.
Compared to this light, is a soft object. It is just there. It's simply a light, very soft light. And in order to maintain your attention continuously there, you have to have a fair amount of concentration. If your mind is wandering here and there, you can't maintain. So there's a kind of exercise here. Now previously I was improving my mindfulness with a moving object. Now I have a stable object, stationary object. How can I maintain just looking at it without allowing mind to distract? Just looking at it. So if you are looking at it in a very gentle, very sort of without much hope, just looking at it, very in a pleasant mind. So kind of a balance of faculties. That's the only thing here. So if you are putting too much effort, it can even disappear. It can even scatter.
Yeah.
So if you don't have effort, you fall asleep.
Yeah.
So how to maintain this subtle balance? So this is the kind of a balancing. So if you are able to maintain this balancing with a very light mind, very pleasant mind, some joyful mind, you are simply looking at this light. So then there's a kind of an absorption can happen at the moment when you are not expected.
Yes.
So if you are expecting, it won't happen.
No, I'm not expecting.
So if you are simply just looking at it, just enjoying it, either something happened to you or not, doesn't matter. You are just looking at it. Just merely looking at it, just being with it, without doing anything, and then there's a kind of an absorption can happen. So if it happens, it may like you are jumping into it, or it may like you are immersed into it. So that kind of feeling can happen, and once it happens, you just be there.
Just be there.
Just be there. So it's what we call as a concentration, some kind of a concentration. So there are a lot of information related to this area, like which kind of concentration, blah, blah, blah. So nothing to worry. So just be and enjoy it.
Then I won't change the walking meditation.
In walking meditation also this sign comes, is it?
Sign, and also my foot also heavy and numbness.
That's all right. Now, then so what I can...
All the day like this. All the day.
Already?
All the day I'm walking.
Yeah.
Like this in my heavy and numbness.
Yeah. So that heaviness, numbness, all these are available properties. So when our mindfulness increased, so these properties become very visible. It is not that these are not available, but when our mind is scattered, we can't feel them. But when our mind becomes more concentration, even this subtle sensation now appears like very gross sensations. It is not really very gross sensation, they are very subtle sensations. Because of the sharpness of the mindfulness, improved concentration, now you are capable of feeling this numbness. So what I can suggest is, so during the sitting session, you can develop some samatha meditation as I have explained. And during the walking, so you neglect about this sign. You neglect this light. Instead, you just be aware of the sensation. So when your left foot is touching, what is happening there? Because now, So say for example, your left foot is touching on the ground and you feel, say you feel some heaviness, or yeah. You may feel some tightness, stiffness, whatever thing. Mm. So when you keep your attention there, so your mind is now fairly sharp with the development of the concentration came from the sitting, mm. and you are able to observe this situation in a very vividly. So it is not that surface touching, but very well you are able to observe this object. So therefore, during walking meditation, forget about the light. It can even happen. Light may be available, but neglect it. Just pay your attention on this sensation. So left foot, there are certain sensations you are concentrating or paying your attention. On right foot, then you are paying your attention. Then it may improve in the vipassana side as well. So that's a beautiful thing can happen. As you are improving in the vipassana side, in the walking, this light even can happen at your, say, on your foot. It's a beautiful mix. Because with the light, now you are able to feel these sensations. It's a kind of a beautiful mixture.
So, I might continue only anapanasati or both?
Yeah, in the sitting, just anapanasati.
Yeah.
And you are just concentrating on this light later and then just be there. And in the walking, just being with the sensations. So, and later time, we'll change that, the sitting. Also, once you have become somewhat familiar with the process, you can discard the light and just improve and start to observe various sensations in the body. So, because samatha don't, no need to go too much far, because if you have earned enough concentration, you can continue with vipassana side, mindfulness side, because there's a long distance to go in that side. Yeah.
Venerable sir, I am a yogi who prefers walking meditation rather than sitting meditation. And I am practicing walking meditation daily for a period of 1 hour in the morning. Now I can concentrate on the soles touching the ground by noting beginning, middle and end for a period of 15 to 20 minutes uninterrupted. How can I convert this position to vipassana? Thiruvan Saranai.
No, you don't need to purposely do any change. Just continue like this, because if you are still capable of maintaining your attention on 15 minutes, just try to make it 16. Try to improve it for 20, 30, 40, 50, 1 hour. So likewise, if you are able to maintain each and every step, can I maintain my attention on each and every step? So then naturally, you are able to improve your meditation. Because walking meditation is fairly vipassana biased. Because at a time, you are observing left leg. The next time, you are observing right leg. Next time, you are observing left leg. Next time, you are observing right leg. So continuously, the object change. And you are now developing a skill, how I can direct my mind to this changing object. So it's fairly vipassana biased. So therefore, you are already in the vipassana track by going through in walking meditation. So therefore, nothing to worry. Just try to see, now I can maintain my attention only for 15 minutes. After that, my mind was kind of distracted. So can I maintain it for 16 minutes? Can I increase it for 20 minutes? Likewise, improve the time period so that you are able to fully be aware each step. Left step, right step. Left step, right step. And again, another improvement you can do, checking whether you can avoid labeling. Now you may be doing labeling, say left, right, left, right. Is it possible to maintain attention without any kind of mental verbalization? Any kind of noting like left, right? So you discard this left, right noting and just see when your foot is touching the ground, you have some feeling. So you don't need to have mental talking, telling, okay, this is left. That is very necessary at the beginning. But once you master the process, If you are able to maintain your attention on the feeling, just the feeling, then mind becomes more calm. So your attention becomes more improved and you feel more lighter. So that is how you have to further improve. Mindfulness.
Yes. This is on meditation terminology. Thiruvan Saranai Bhante. May you please explain the difference between Samadhi and Jhana. Sukhi Dhigayuko.
Yeah. Sukhi Dhigayuko Bhava. So, Samadhi and Jhana. Actually, Samadhi is a common term where you can have Samatha Samadhi and Vipassana Samadhi. Samadhi is in the Pali term. It simply translated as concentration. So, and there are various types of concentration, Samatha concentration and Vipassana concentration. In the Samatha concentration, the concentration improves in various stages. At the beginning, say for example, you are simply observing your breath and your mind only few seconds staying with the breath and then distract. Another few seconds you are with the breath, then distracts. So there is no much concentration available. Understood. So after that, suppose you are simply maintaining your attention on the breath and breath does not distract. Rather, the mind does not distract. Mind is continuously with the breath. So that sometimes we can call it like Parikamma Samadhi. Learning concentration. So then further you are going on and on, then as she has mentioned, then the possibility is there with Samatha concentration, there's a kind of a light can happen. So this light also coming and going, not stable at the beginning, but now you are further improving the causes, further supporting the causes, then as a result this light become brighter and stable and then appears in front of your eyes and very much like merge with the breath. So this is sometimes we can call as a neighborhood concentration, called the Upachara Samadhi. And you are just now further observing it, very gentle, very lighter mind, with some joy, you are simply observing it, and in a given time, it is not you, basically your mind becomes absorbed to this object. You are like immersed with it. So yourself and the object becomes one, something like this. So now there is no world other than this. So you are in the light. So you have forgotten where, what is the time, what's your name, nothing is there. You are just absorbed to this object. So this is called as jhana. So there are various types of jhana, samatha jhana and the rupavachara jhana, that is called material concentrations, and then the arupavachara jhana, where immaterial concentrations or boundless concentrations. So there's further, I think, more and more information about these things. So when it is considered concentration, so there is a kind of a progressive improvement, kind of a progress in different stages. So in the first jhana, there are various concentration factors, jhana factors available. In the second, there are certain other jhana factors available. Likewise, the improvement happens. So I think information is enough. So if you are there, so I can explain where you are. So these are just the information. So again, if you are in a very fairly youth and you have some energy, you can practice this because you can enjoy. So it's a fairly, and Buddha says no need to be afraid of this this kind of a bliss, because it is not something sensual. Entirely when your mind becomes concentration, calm, and the hindrances are fairly subside, then only you are able to absorb to this higher concentration levels. So you can just be there and can enjoy. So therefore, for example, certain monks are telling this more enjoyable than the sensual desires and all these things. It's unlike in this pleasure taken through the faculties, unlike the sensual pleasure. So this is entirely a different type of pleasure, kind of a very pleasant bliss kind of a feeling, rapture and kind of thing. It is more from yourself. So we are always seeking pleasure outside. But through meditation, you find that the happiness is available within yourself. So because of our sort of defilements, we are always watching outside. I am not happy. How can I be happy? So always looking outside. But once you develop your mind, you can find. So you can just be and just joyful and just contented and no defilements. And you are, if necessary, so you can even absorb to a kind of a concentration and just be there. Just enjoy. So therefore, say during the Buddha's time, so Buddha also even sometimes absorb to these things and just be. In a way, Samatha side is a kind of a escapism, because you forget about the world and you are in your world, something like that. Anyway, we are in our world, isn't it? So we are others are in their worlds, we are in our world. So rather than proliferating in our world, so I am, just be in the world. Just be in this, not a kind of a worldly kind of a happiness, kind of a more subtle and defilement-free kind of a happiness. So, and certain suttas are telling, so if you are just enjoying this, even the asavas are not improving. So this is a fairly interesting side is there. Say for example, suppose you are watching a movie and you are fully absorbed, fighting is going on, loving is going on, different this and that are going on, dancing is going on. More and more you enjoy, more and more your fetters are increasing. More and more your asava, influxes are increasing. So, but here, so you are just be there and you are fully absorbed to that object, very pleasant, just be. And Arahant Bhikkhuni Dhammadinna is telling, so this jhana pleasure does not contribute to asava, does not contribute to influxes. So it's a different kind of happiness. So you can be happy, still not get trapped. So that's a in a way another alternative for, basically we are searching for happiness. So you can't immediately go for less defilement. It's a kind of a slow path. But these are the kind of like the, ambalama, what is the English term for ambalama? Kind of a in-between rest house kind of thing. So you are going in a long distance. In between you have some different rest house. So you take some relax there. Because the path is a fairly long path. So here you have some, you can enjoy, you have a bath and so you get charge your battery. So this is a place for that. So even in Vipassana, more improved such concentrations are available. So I encourage you to enjoy them. Yes. So there is no defilements are the defilements are not improved by this kind of enjoyment, this kind of happiness. Niramisa piti. Yes.
This is the final question. The final written question. Most venerable sir, I have heard in sermons that the five precepts we undertake are different from the five precepts that a yogi who has attained stream entry or so on undertakes. Bhante, can you please explain what these differences are? May you attain Nibbana in this very life.
Yeah. So actually it's the same five precepts, but how you are maintaining it is the difference. So there's a beautiful sutta called Pancha Bhayavera Sutta. There Buddha says, now the Seka Pugdala, Sotapanna, for example, he is free from five kind of fears. When someone is killing animals and he's into killing, So he has some fear. So what would be the repercussions? What would be the consequences of this misbehavior? So he can't sleep well, and he get the torturing and all these things. The very, because when you are killing, your mind is very gross. Your mind is fairly polluted. So you are some kind of a, fear also involved there. Maybe you are fighting and ultimately you winning, but there's a fear involved. So therefore, when someone is doing killing, due to that, there's a fear in return you will be getting. Similarly, when someone is stealing, there's a, in return, the fear is coming. When someone is engaged in sexual misconduct, so it is not the fully, real, legal kind of thing, but you are someone, suppose in a sexual misconduct, so he is worried about someone is looking or something like that, this is illegal and it's not the proper thing. Likewise, the mind is not proper. So there's a fear involved. Similarly, when someone is lying, similarly, so you don't know when it is your lie get revealed, when you get caught, because you have lied. So there's a fear involved. Similarly, when someone is drinking alcohol or drug addicted or something like that, still the mind is vague. Still mind is very cloudy. So you can't be real. So there's fear involved. So therefore, Buddha says, when someone is involved in these fight kind of wrong activities, akusala, there's a fear involved. But when someone is maintaining five precepts, this fear starts to reduce and reduce. So you can be with some animal, you don't feel fear. You can be with some precious items, you don't feel fear. And you can be with some beautiful women or handsome people, you don't feel fear. Because you are maintaining some, you have your inner, some kind of a confidence that I can handle this situation. And you are truthful. And again, there are maybe all of the kind of different drinks are available, but you have not fear that I am 100% sure that I may not get caught to these things. So likewise, there's a fearlessness develops within you. So this fearlessness is very available, readily available, and effortlessly available with the Seka Puggala. So he doesn't need to have a special effort to maintain these five precepts. It becomes his kind of a, it becomes its a ingrained line. Becomes its a, what you call a, like engraving. Kavadila, yes. So it has become his part and parcel. So now he don't need to worry about whether I may kill this or that or I may steal or I may engage in sexual misconduct or I may lie or something like that. Because he has some confidence about himself. Therefore, Buddha says, the Sotapanna, the stream winner, have this fearlessness. And therefore, the five precepts become his norm, his part and parcel of him. And it is not a burden for him. So at the beginning, when you start to protect Sila, it becomes very much like a burden. Okay, I can't even kill a mosquito like that. You, big burden. And you have to worry about what you are telling. Well, is it I am going to lie or did I lie or something like that? The mind is still not adjusted to it. But more and more you with it, so it becomes a habit. So you are no more lying. You are no more killing. Even mosquito come, you may simply remove it, not killing. So at the beginning, due to the habit, the hand may go. So even sudden killing can happen. That is the training part. But later, more and more you become trained, more and more you are mindful. So this becomes a habit. This becomes a norm of you. Then the protecting of five precepts is a normal thing. So this is the difference between a normal person who is trying to protect precepts, maintain the precepts, and a Seka Puggala maintaining precepts. The maintenance is friction free. Yeah, something like that. So it's the same precepts. It is not a different precept, the same precepts. It is how easily you are maintaining it. how effortlessly you are maintaining it when someone become a stream winner, something like that. So, and again, there are some other benefits in a stream winner. So he is free from the fear of hell. So he know very well. So I am fairly free from a lot of suffering now, and definitely my next life will not be on a hell realm. And likewise, the very good confidence may appear in him. So therefore, Buddha says, even pathavya, there's a beautiful verse in Dhammapada, pathavya eka rajyena saggassa gamanena va sabba lokadi pachyena sota patti palangvara. Pathavya eka rajyena, rather than becoming a, you know, wheel turning monarch, Sakviti Raja, wheel turning monarch, rather than becoming a wheel turning monarch, saggassa gamanena va, rather than going to a celestial world, and sabba lokadi pachyena, like a Brahma, to all the worlds, he's the kind of a king. Rather than becoming like him, even sotapatti palangvara, winning the stream, so becoming a sotapanna is much more beneficial to a person. So therefore, Buddha is telling the benefits of it. So that's why, I mean, in the human realm, therefore is an opportunity for that. Because, you know, when gods are there, when a person, suppose a celestial being is there, when he is about to pass away, so what would be their next wish? Exactly. So it is not to go to another celestial world, rather they are wishing to come to the human world. Because Buddha say, for the gods, for the celestial beings, Sugati is the human world. So we actually don't know the value of human world. So that's why we are neglecting this opportunity. And if we know the value of this human birth, so we may try our best to get the maximum benefit. Yeah. Actually, I'll just share a few words what has happened today morning. Actually, Bante Dhammajeeva and myself were to visit, you know, the Narcotics Bureau. So they have shown certain videos and how fast the young generation is caught to these various drugs and all these things. It's really pathetic. So if we are able to contribute somehow, I mean, to prevent these things, to prevent our children, and to give us some kind of alternative for this kind of a spreading disaster, so it's in a way it's a kind of a duty. It's so fast and it's alarming. Actually, I may not be alarmed for you, may, because you are daily getting these news, but it's a kind of a surprise for me, and how these things are, how the society is getting trapped, getting boiled with these situations. Because we don't know the value of the human birth. So if we know the value, and if we have given some concern about the spiritual side, so we have an alternative. It is not that every day we have to be the first in the class or to win the race or something like that. So we have some other alternatives in our lives. So we can actually, there's a better opportunity available. Yeah. So now the written questions are over. If you have any other verbal questions, we can continue. Right. If there is no any verbal question, we can wind up the session. So maybe around 4:30, we can start the Dhamma sermon. Thank you very much for participation.